Hello all, welcome to Up the Poshcast, the podcast made by the fans for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Up the Poshcast Live. It's our first live stream, but we felt we needed to celebrate the big occasion of Derby Day on Saturday with some live chat. Thank you so much to everyone who's already tuning in. Great numbers to begin with for what I'm sure is going to be a great evening of posh talk. I'm joined tonight by Ashley, John, Del, Lods, and of course, I am Charlie. And we'll kick this off with a question to you, Del. How do you feel about the Cambridgeshire derby and are you excited?
To be fair, I do like a derby. I'm sort of mixed between Cambridge and I'm mixed between Northampton, but I fucking love a derby day against Cambridge. A couple of years back when it was the first one, all week I was like proper excited. I was like a big kid. And even my daughter's like, why are you so excited? Why are you so excited about a Cambridge derby? It's only a football match. And then we went to the game, we went to Charters and the atmosphere is all building up. And after the day, she was like, I understand why you're so excited for the week. So, yeah, I do like a derby. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good day out. I think the police have learned a little bit by sort of not letting the Cambridge and the Peterborough fans have the same pubs this time. Although I do hear that Charters is home and away. Bit of a silly mistake, but I love it, mate. I'm love it. It's just great. To see them squirm when we beat them is a great feeling. Can't beat it. And I used to have an office in Cambridge. Going right off on tangents now. And we had it all built and everything. I even made sure the notice boards and all the carpet was blue. You know, there might even be a listener that comes in that used to work for me, a young guy called Scott. Nice lad, but you know, he's a Cambridge fan. So no, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I'm even actually going to Peterborough early, even though I don't drink anymore much. I'm going early. So yeah, I'm proper excited about it.
Yeah, I think this one is our proper derby. It feels like it every time we come to this game. It always feels like there's a bit more spice to it. So I can't wait to be there. The atmosphere is always quality. It helps that Cambridge are pretty shit, so we generally dominate the game. There's not much opposition, certainly at London Road. And I'm predicting another massacre. So probably see a lot of them leaving after 60 minutes again. That's certainly the hope. Our forward line should be too good for them, I think. So I'm looking forward to seeing another Darren Ferguson masterclass and a few more Cambridge fans crying on the way home.
Yeah, I agree. When you think about the fixtures, when they come out in June, this is probably the first one that you look for alongside the away game. Definitely ahead of Northampton for me. Can't wait for it. I think that knowing how sort of trepidous our form is and Cambridge have come into form, they've like won their last five games. I think that's definitely added a little bit more compared to where we were sort of at the start of October, where they were sat at the bottom of the table on 1 point. So I definitely think it's going to be exciting. I'm not quite sure what to predict. But it would be wrong not to back the boys in blue, that's for sure.
Seems to be a bit of a divide within the fan base of which derby is the bigger derby, like this one and the Northamptonshire one. And I'm 30 and I've always known that the Cambridgeshire derby is the bigger derby. And even going to some of the games between us and Northampton, it just didn't feel like a big game. But of course, went to my first derby game a couple of years ago, the Lloyd Jones game. And I just, that atmosphere was just unreal. It was something I've never seen before, supporting Posh. Watching all the fans walk over the bridge at the end, seeing the passion of Grant McCann at the end, the atmosphere. Obviously, last season we did it again and we won 5-0. And I still say that game is in my top three games of all time. And I think it's probably the best atmosphere at London Road that I've seen. It's definitely up there with the Milton Keynes semi-final and the Sheffield Wednesday semi-final for me. And yeah, I agree with John and Ashley. I think this should be a game that we win. I think we're going to rise to the occasion. I think we're just going to outperform them.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love the Derby Day. Obviously, as a younger fan, it's only ever really been Cambridge that I've thought about. You know, we're a club in Cambridgeshire. It's the Cambridgeshire Derby. It's a bit more special when you're fighting over a county, I feel like. And yeah, as a young fan, the atmosphere, as Lod's touched on, that game for him is in his top three, and he's been following the club a lot longer than me. For me, it's definitely in my top three, probably even my top two, maybe even my best ever, because just the atmosphere, the occasion was unbelievable. It was a great game. And of course, it's nice, actually, that we have a bit of a selection headache for this game. We've got a few positions that we've highlighted as particularly contentious for Fergie, because it feels like he does have a few decisions to make. So we'll start with you, Ash, and I'll start with the left wing position. Obviously, Adoh's come in and scored 3-2, but Malik Mothersill, we all know the quality he possesses. Who would you start on Derby Day?
I don't actually think that this is even a debate, if I'm being completely honest with you. It's a no-brainer that Malik Mothersill starts. Yes, Otto has been fantastic in the last two games against League Two Newport and then an under-21s team. But Mothersill's been doing it for probably the last month now, hasn't he? Where he's been turning right backs and right midfielders and right wingers inside out off that side. And I think that when we think back to last season and that dodgy academy product that Cambridge have got at right back in Liam Bennett, I think that Mothersill will have him twisting himself inside out and will have great, great success down that left-hand side, along to complement the success that we'll hopefully have down the right-hand side. So it's Malik Mothersill to start on that left wing for me, not a shadow of a doubt.
You know, I went for, the question was asked last week about should he start, and I think a couple of people said yes, no. I actually said Malik should start. I don't think Odo's ready at the moment. But I think he's getting closer. Odo is closer, especially the last two performances, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think it would be a bit of a something to come off the bench for the Cambridge game. But I would still, and with you, Ash, I would start Malik for this game. I just think it's the right thing to do at the moment. And then see what happens after that. But I don't think Odo's ready for this at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that Malik's been really good this season. I think I will play devil's advocate, though, because I actually am quite a big fan of Adoh. I think he's got some really attractive traits in terms of wingers. He is, you know, about as tricky as Poku on the other side in terms of, you know, footwork. Poku's got a bit more directness. He's got, you know, that shooting ability that Adoh doesn't quite have yet. But Adoh seems to read the game really well, to make runs, seems to have a good relationship with Jack Sparks on that left-hand side as well. And he's scored sort of three in the last two, which in terms of numbers this season, it is about as good as it's got for any of our attackers. So I wouldn't mind to see Adoh start at all. I think he's a tricky player. I think he's a player that Cambridge will know how to deal with less than Malik. And I also think that Malik off the bench may be a much better option than currently what we've got with Adoh.
Yeah, no, I don't think that this is about downplaying Adoh. I think that this is just about knowing what you need in those big pressure environments. It's probably going to be a sellout on Saturday. There's going to be lots of expectation, definitely from posh fans. And then there's also going to be lots of pressure that comes with that. When you think about what you want in those environments, you want those people that are ready to sort of stick their head on the line, ready to like just scream aura. And I think that, as we know, Malik Mothersill does that. He wants to be the main man, whether that's down the left or up front. Malik Mothersill will hopefully shine on Saturday. If we think about probably further back on the pitch, I think that obviously Jed Steer's injured, isn't he? And then, so that makes it a no-brainer for Bila Kapic. I'm really, really hoping that we can nail down a clean sheet and the first one of the season. And what a game it would be to get that first clean sheet, that's for sure.
Yeah, it feels like the clean sheet is coming, isn't it? We're getting better at the back. Certainly, we're growing. I think that Bolton away performance, which was our last league game, even though it feels like it was absolutely ages ago, was, you know, a really decent defensive display. The centre halves, it is a really interesting one because obviously Oscar Wallin was given like a little mid-season break. I believe he went back to Sweden for a bit and he's been rehabilitating and trying to get ready for this Cambridge game in quite a busy festive period. I don't know what he'll do with the two centre halves. You've got Nevitt, who is great on the ball at left centre half, but then you've obviously got both Manny and Wallin, who were great in the Bolton game that I already mentioned. So I'm not sure what to do with the defence, to be honest. I think it's probably one of the trickier decisions Fergie has to make. And I'd probably go Manny and Wallin, probably, but also it wouldn't surprise me if he used George Nevitt's ball playing ability to try and unlock the defence.
So I don't think there's much debate here at all. I think with Valin being off for 2 weeks, he's almost certainly going to start. That was the reason why we gave him this break. And I think he has to come in alongside Manny. That doesn't mean that I think Nevitt's a bad player, but even against Palace and against Wigan now, he's made defensive errors. I think against Palace, obviously, he's dived in too much, too aggressive to the ball, got done, and it given away a cheap goal, really. And that's the only concern with Nevitt. He needs to learn the defensive side of the game. And in a team that, look, for all we'll disparage Cambridge, I'm sure, across this podcast, what they can do is defend. They are well organised. They don't concede many goals. I think there's 4 clean sheets in a row for them now. What we can't afford to do is give away a cheap goal. And look, Valin and Fernandez, you know, they're decent centre-backs, but let's face it, we've not looked the best defensively. However, I think they are our most secure centre-back pairing in terms of defensively. And for that reason, I'm pretty convinced Ferguson will start with both of them. You've also got the fact that Nevitt is pretty slender for a centre-back at League One level, isn't he? And this is going to be a real physical battle. I think Valin can certainly improve in that area, but I would put him ahead of Nevitt at the minute, certainly defensively. And for that reason, I think it's a no-brainer. You go with Manny, you go with Valin. They've been our first two centre-backs for the bulk of the season so far. And I can't see any reason to change that on Saturday, to be honest.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what way I'd go. I'd be happy with any. If I was to choose, if I had to pick a team now, I would go with Manny, because I can't believe I'm saying it again, but Manny seems a bit undroppable at the moment. He's just been, he's been our most consistent defender all season. So 100% Manny starts. And based on his last couple of performances, I would go with Nevitt. I probably would start Nevitt. Fergie's got a habit of like not changing a winning team, etc. We was unlucky with the last couple of goals that we have conceded. So I probably would start Nevitt and Manny, but I wouldn't be opposed to Wallin starting over Nevitt, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. I think, you know, actually, even though we've been shaky at the back, all of the centre-backs seem to be decent options. You know, it feels like it's more of the sort of the relationships between the four defenders that have been the problem and not the four defenders themselves. We've got a question from the chat, so we'll have a look at that. And it was from Scotty, who said, wild one here, but with Bennett being flaky, would you be tempted to stick Poku on the left or play Ricky on the left? I mean, that is the flexibility that gets given to you by having, you know, both Ricky and Malik in the same side, if that's what happens. Ash, would you be, you've already spoken about how you find Liam Bennett to be a dodgy player. Would you be tempted to try and expose that with one of our higher quality attacking players?
I think that's probably a little bit harsh on Malik Mothersill not to call him a high-quality attacking player. I think that Poku has to stay on the right. The development in his right foot and his ability to get the ball across the box this season has contributed to plenty of goals. I don't think that we want to chuck that over to the left-hand side and potentially ruin any relationships that we've been developing down the right-hand side with him and Dornelli, and then obviously potentially Archie Collins and Randall coming over and supporting as well. Like Scotty says, the only one probably is Ricky, but I don't think that we're at a stage, and we'll find out on Saturday, where we just need to get at somebody. Liam Bennett's a young lad. He's not going to be like, he's not a cart horse, is he? He's probably got the fitness to keep up with Ricky. Maybe not the pace as much, but I'm sure that he's an intelligent enough player that he can keep alongside him. So that sort of narrows it down to the trickery that you get with both Otto and Malik Mothersill. So I think that we probably set up how we have done for the majority of the season with our front four front four that way. And we use Malik's skill to dominate that left-hand side.
I think as well, it's worth noting that Cambridge's left-back, Danny Andrew, is suspended for the game. So I believe they're going to have to play Jordan Cousins there. In fairness to Bennett, look, he's not shown himself great against Posh. But if you speak to Cambridge fans, they all think he's a decent player. And I think one of the things that he struggled with was Mason Clark's physicality. Certainly under the long ball against whenever we've played them, we've always had that outlet to hit a diagonal to Mason Clark. And Mason Clark would just bully him physically. We don't really have that option now. So I think the logical thing to do is just to agree with Ashley and stick Malik out there. If things aren't going to plan like they weren't at Wickham and we need that link up, you can swap Ricky and Malik over and Ricky can play out there. But I certainly wouldn't be altering Poku's position. He's playing too well this season. There's absolutely no need to start changing around where Kwame Poku's playing because why would you do that? He's one of the top scorers in the division. Chopping in on that left foot, perfect.
Yeah, we got another good question in about the team selection from Hinchy here, who says, who would you start alongside Collins, Ryan de Havilland or Donny O'Brien Brady? Dell, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, well, first of all, Jack, I hope you're being good, staying out of trouble, young man. But I would stick with de Havilland. I think he's been very steady, very consistent. Whilst I really do like Donny O'Brady. I do like him, and I think he's going to be one for the future. Have I got that right this time?
Not exactly, Dale. Not exactly, but it's hell. Okay. We forgive you.
O'Brien Brady. Is that it? Fucking check me out. I like him, but I would stick with de Havilland for the game. I just think he's one of these no-frill midfielders. I just like him. I think I've actually been impressed with him more this season than the few really good games he had last season, if that makes sense. So the answer to your question, Jack, RDH for me.
Yeah, I think I'm in complete agreement with you, Dale. I think I've been one of the most vocal Ryan de Havilland supporters on the pod this season. I think he's been great since he came in. He was sensational away at Bolton. Seemed to have a good game against Newport as well. I'm trying to remember who else we've played. Oh yeah, and of course he played some against Crystal Palace. He didn't look to be at his best, but he also looked to be conserving energy. I think it's pretty nailed on that he'll start on Saturday. He's been really decent. Seems to have a good rapport with Archie Collins as well. And I really like the relationship between those two, actually, where they sort of understand each other. That they understand that in the middle of the pitch, one of them needs to press, one of them needs to sit back. A lot like Collins and Kyprianou did last season. Now, I'm not going to start comparing this season's Ryan de Havilland to last season's Hector Kyprianou yet. I think they're a very different style of player. But I do really like Ryan de Havilland. I think he's really good. I think this could be a really big season for him. And I think, you know, this is the season where he can prove to us as a football club, as a fan base, and to Fergie as a manager, why he is a League One footballer and why we, you know, made the gamble to sign him from non-league.
Yeah, I think maybe the only sort of, not arguing point, because obviously de Havilland has been fantastic when he's come in this season, but maybe it would be nice if there was a little bit of balance with a left-footed sort of centre midfielder in that space alongside Archie Collins. That is probably the only argument after watching de Havilland versus Donny O'Brien Brady's performances over the last couple of games that you could sort of say, okay, well, yeah, we may bring him in just to provide some balance across the team. We know that left-footers aren't our key area when we start our 11. We've obviously got Jack Sparks and Poku. So if we're not going to play Nevitt, maybe it would be nice to bring in O'Brien Brady.
Yeah, and another question in from Scotty there. Also, how do you feel Corey Smith is their key player and his experience to control the middle of the park against us? I feel he's a very good player at this level. Dell, do you think Corey Smith? Do you know who Corey Smith is to begin with? And if the answer to that is yes, do you think he's a good player for this level?
Okay, well, let's bear in mind I can hardly name our own fucking players. All right, Corey Smith. I actually thought it was some sort of like women's WSL player. You know, I didn't realise it's a bloke. and I didn't realise as a footballer. So I have absolutely no idea if he's going to be the fucking start, the starter, the key linchpin. I don't care, actually. I don't give a shit. Let's just play our game. Don't give a shit about their players. Corey fucking Smith. What sort of girl's name's that, anyway? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm with Dell. Maybe not about him being a WSL player, but I've never heard of a Corey Smith before. So I'm sure that if you went to Cambridge and asked them all about our players, they could probably lay off our starting 11, how petrified of them they all are. I've got nothing to be concerned of when it comes to Corey Smith, that's for sure.
So, Scotty, you'll be pleased to know that I actually have heard of Corey Smith. I think he was a good player at this level. I think the jury's probably out whether he's a good player at this level at the age of 34. Decent ball player. Has he got the legs to compete with our midfield? I'd like to see Randall peeling off him. I can see him getting booked. I wouldn't call him a key player, and he wouldn't be anywhere near our team. So, no, I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's anyone to worry about.
Trust Dell to remember the name of someone with the surname Smith. That's literally all he's good for, isn't it? I think with our lineup, we're obviously very quick in the transitions, and especially when we played him last season, we were very good in the midfield. I think it's the one game that I thought Archie Collins and Joel Randall really, really played very well. For the time I'd seen Joel Randall play well in that game, and I think it was the first game I really thought, bloody hell, Archie Collins is a good player, and I'm expecting exactly the same again. I haven't heard of Corey Smith, but like Ashley said, I guarantee Cambridge have heard of Archie Collins. I think him and Ryan de Havilland should be good enough to dominate their midfield.
Yeah, I think that's going to be sort of a theme of the game. A big theme is that we're just going to absolutely run all over them. It felt like that's sort of what happened last year, and it was our energy and our aggression in the game and our willingness to press. You know, I remember a key moment from the 5-0 was when Ricky J. Jones, straight after we scored the first goal, sort of shut down their keeper and sent the ball sort of flying up in the air. And it just set the tone straight away. And the way that we pressed them, our aggression, and we've got a team that is still that youthful energy, still that sort of that thing we need in order to outrun Cambridge, basically, because they have got a lineup of some very, very old legs, some very, very tired legs, some very fragile legs as well. I have to admit, I'm not particularly worried that any of the Cambridge players are gonna run us ragged on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that my probably biggest concern is that we need to see out the first 25 minutes. Similar to the game last year, when you think about it, is that Cambridge did sort of come out of the traps relatively quickly. I'm not sure that they offered a great deal in an attacking sense, but if we can sort of see out the first 25, 30 minutes, then grab a goal, we'll grab two, we'll grab three. Absolutely no doubt about it. But that's been a concern for us this season, is seeing out that 30 minutes and then not conceding straight after that. We've conceded against Huddersfield, we've conceded against Wrexham. Obviously, last Saturday, we conceded two inside 7 minutes against the team in the division lower than us. It will be an interesting test when we get to the game on Saturday, but I'm confident that these lads can all step up. I think when we went into last season, we were probably in a similar position where we were sort of thinking, we're not quite sure whether it's going to be one of those tight 1-0s, but I'm sure that they all know the importance now, especially after last season, that's for sure.
Yeah, a good question from Rio in the chat, which says, Chris Conn-Clark or Randall Saturday? I think, John, you're one of the people that probably speaks the most about Joel Randall, and I know how highly you rate Chris Conn-Clark. So what are your thoughts on that particular conundrum?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm not Randall's biggest fan. I think everyone probably that listens to the podcast knows that, but I think at the minute it's probably right for Randall to start this one. Conn-Clark, I really like. I think he shows flashes of real, real promise. I really like how direct he is and how much more willing to take a risk he is than Joel Randall. However, against Palace, there were just a couple of moments in that final third where he was a little bit untidy, chose the wrong option, played a couple of balls across the pitch, which got intercepted and set up counterattacks for Palace. Just a couple of little bits to learn as he steps up the levels. Once he starts making the right decision, 9 times out of 10, which I think is fair to say Randall often does make the right decision, and the fact that he does make intelligent passes and intelligent movement is one of the key things behind Randall. that's why I have Randall ahead of him. I just think he's a safer option at the minute. I do think Con Clark is the sort of player that could thrive in a Derby environment in time. But given his injury, given that he's only just coming back to fitness, given that Randall is, you know, in relatively decent form at the minute, I would say, I think Randall has just about done enough to keep that place. And I would start him. I do want to see Joel Randall be aggressive. I do want to see him be on the front foot. He was good against Cambridge last year. There is question marks of when it gets physical. Is Randall the player that you want in the middle? Time to answer those critics. As I keep saying, his key player, his top earner. These are the sort of games we're paying you for, mate. So he needs to step up.
I'm going to agree with you. Randall's a start. young Rio. Randall's a start. I like CCC, as I said before. I think he's one that could come on and sort of change the game, the bit of physicality. The only thing that Rio, I'm a bit concerned about, as you just said, John, is physicality. Hopefully he's given a space, so he don't need to worry about that. But yeah, I'd go with Randall to start off with, bring CCC on. But just chuck back to Rio there, is who would you start? Just drop back in the chat who you would start.
Yeah, I don't think that this is a game for any surprises. We play the way that we do. We definitely don't need to be making changes in a game of this importance, that's for sure. So like John and like Del have said, as much as it will grind my gears to watch Joel Randall put on the posh shirt again for another performance against Cambridge, it makes sense to play him. He knows how the other three that are attacking with him play. He knows how the two behind him are going to play, and he's worked his way back into the team successfully, hasn't he? So hopefully he goes and puts in a 10 out of 10 and bags a hat-trick on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Joel Randall's performance was one of those sort of eye him performances, the last Cambridge one, which is talked about. You know, I just remember him being completely unplayable last year. He was superb. He was Cruyff turning everyone. He was picking the right pass literally every time. He absolutely unpicked that Cambridge defence on multiple occasions. I think he'll be really up for this one because he'll know that he's still got a bit of work to do to get the fans back over on side. He'll know that he's still not, you know, in the best position in the eyes of those at the club. But he also knows that if he comes in and puts in, you know, another 8, 9 out of 10 performance on a derby day, that is going to do a lot in his favour. And I think that will be almost forgive and forgotten for a lot of Posh fans because he will have earned back that respect that he lost with his actions earlier in the season. I think Joel Randall is such a useful asset at times for us. And I think, as Rio says, probably Randall, I think most people would like to see him start on Saturday. Zach comes in with a question and says, my client is a Cambridge fan and says Kachunga is going to cause us huge problems. Not 100% aware of him, but is he just trying to form some confidence or is it a legitimate worry? I'm going to be honest, it is not a legitimate worry. It is one of the worst statements I've said. I've read the Cambridge front three for their last league game was Njoku and Lunlu and Kachunga. They have 4 goal contributions between them this season, which is incredibly, brilliant numbers. They're a seriously potent side. Of course, it's probably our defence out of all of the defences in the league that could give them a chance to add to that tally. But they have looked so bad going forward. They just aren't scoring goals. They've actually got a decent defensive record, but there's not a single one of those attacking players that I look at this season and, you know, I'm particularly worried about. You know, when they first came here back in sort of the 2022-23 season, they did have some players that concerned me. You know, they had like Sam Smith, Harvey Nibbs, Joey Ironside. Those were decent League One attackers. But what they've got now is an absolute pile of rubbish. They are useless, and I do not expect them to cause our defenders any trouble at all because, yeah, they are an absolutely shocking forward line.
Yeah, just on Kachunga, he's now played nearly 200 games in English football and he has a 1 in 10 strike rate. So I'm certainly not having sleepless nights over him. He hasn't even managed 20 goals in the English Football League yet. So he's quick. I'll give him that. The one I would say that's possibly one to look out for, and maybe that's not a statement that I say with too much trepidation. But and Lundeloo is a big lad. I remember seeing him against us play Cheltenham, and he caused us issues. If you remember the McCann game where we came back, it was Smodic's last game. We came back from 2-0 down. That first half, he did give us a few problems. It should be said that Fernandez probably will be marking him, and he's clearly more physically equipped than, I believe it was Josh Knight and Ronnie Edwards at that on that day. I think that's right. So if there's one that might give us a few issues, certainly from set pieces, it's probably him. But ultimately, like Charlie said, if we concede against Cambridge, or if we concede two against Cambridge, it really would highlight the problems in our defence, because they can't score goals. So I can't say I'm concerned about their forward line. The bigger battle is just going to be trying to break them down and not getting frustrated. Hopefully we can get an early goal and bring them out. And then if that's the case, you really are talking of a potential of another big, big scoreline, because they can't attack.
To be fair, I'm not concerned about Keely Smith, and I'm really not concerned about Kachonga. Check me out. I said that one right, didn't I? Yeah. I can say they're the players' names better than I can say my own. But there we go.
That was a snappy interjection, Dale. And you also didn't say Kachunga's name right. So you're going to have to go back to the drawing board, a little bit of time on the training ground, and you can come back on that one.
Hold on. Kachonga.
Kachonga.
Kachonga, what, as if you're being sick? Kachonga.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on. We'll move on from this one. Because, that is some more terrible Dell pronunciation. We'll go to a question from Scotty. If JD gets injured, who goes right back as David Adjaboy has left? Lods, do you have a view on this?
Yeah, so obviously Sam Curtis is suspended for this one, so we're going to have to start James Donnelly, even if we didn't want to. For what it's worth, I would have started him over Curtis anyway. I've got a bit of a wild suggestion to this one, and it's that Abraham Oda, who plays wing back, and the reason for that is obviously he's playing quite well. He can't get into the team because the front four are so good. The times he has played, he's been really, really good defensively, probably the best defensive winger I've seen over the last few years. I actually think he would make a really good right wing back, maybe not as a flat four. So obviously it would depend on how the game's going, but I can't really see many other options that we can put there of the players that are fit. And I would like to see him at some point play right back just to see how he gets on.
If Dornelli does get injured, which hopefully doesn't cramp up after 60 minutes after the Bolton display, just stick money at right back. He's more than capable. He's shown he can do it. He played it in some games last season. Bring Nevitt on, shift everybody across one, and just stick money there. He'll have the extra help of one of the best defensive wingers in Kwame Poku, as per Darar's most recent podcast recording. Well, just do it. Stick money there. We'll be fine. And anyway, it's going to be all out attack from Peterborough United.
Yeah, so we've had a question from Twitter. Now, this is going to be the interesting one, I think. For anybody that is active on the Posh Twitter site, you would have seen that Ash and I and Dell and his pals had an interesting debate on X the other night about the London Road End versus the GH. And so DJPUFC's rather innocent-looking tweet of, out of interest, where will you all be in the ground for the game, suddenly it becomes a bit more interesting. Dell, I'm sure you'll be sat tying yourself to the back of the London Road End. Why have you picked to sit there for the game?
Well, I chose to pick to sit there because that's where I sit at every game, or stand, or lean, whatever you want to call it, in London Road. What I will point out is I will be in, whilst it's not a sellout, I will be in a fully opened London Road End. Okay? So I will be there. That's where I want to go. I'll be there. And you know what? I might even take my flag, and I might even put my flag on the back wall of London Road. So you could all see where I am on the back row. I don't even know. It's the left side of the goal. But you know what? Joking apart, that's where I want to sit. Other people have their opinions where they want to sit. You know, you've got the old people that want to sit in the main stand, or the ones that take their kids. You've got the family stand. I don't even know what the family stand's all about. And you've got the GH. And to be fair, right, whilst I knock people and whatever, you know, some of the younger generation want to go in the GH, and that's fine. Let people go where they want to go. I don't want to go there. I want to go to London Road and I'll stay on London Road. But as I already alluded to, London Road is the is actually fully open, unlike the GH.
London Road's fully open, but it's not going to cause an atmosphere, is it? That roof's going to hold all that noise in. I'm sure we won't be able to hear it. I'll be sat in the sponsors section as my boss is the match day sponsor for the game. So I'll be living the life of luxury from 12:30 in the ground and watching some magicians and asking Fergie some questions. So if anybody's got any burning questions that they would like Fergie to answer, then please do let me know. I'm looking forward to watching a partially segregated GH bounce around when we go 2-0 up after 15 minutes. That's for sure. And I'm sure that if they did take the segregation off of the GH, we would have sold all of the tickets in there before the London Road end even got anywhere near being sold out. I do think, like I discussed with AD Moles, that unfortunately the safe standing just hasn't really worked how it was meant to, has it? And any life that was left in the London Road end probably got killed off when they put the safe standing in, which is unfortunate, because like Del says, lots of people have fantastic memories in there. There's lots of great footage when you think about Derby in the Championship season when Dembélé scored in the last minute. That was fantastic. Obviously, MK in the playoffs, that was great as well. But unfortunately, I think it's time that we need to either, obviously, new stadium potentially, or potentially replace the standard. Just upgrade it. That's all it needs. It doesn't need to be a whole London Road end versus GH. It can be both. Let's continue building the fan base. The marketing team are doing a good job of that. Our attendances are forever climbing, and this will be another big, probably 12,500 attendance. So it'll be good to see, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's where I sit on the debate as well. The London Road end has some fantastic memories for me. So many good games, so many entertaining games. But it has just lost its way over the last couple of years. And I think it's not just the safe standing that's done that. I think it had already lost its way a few years before that. I think it is just the fans that go in there. Unfortunately, it's quite sad, a bit rude to Dell, but they are aging. The young fans are to the GH, which is proved by the sales of the tickets. And I think if they let us have season tickets in the GH, I think it will outsell the terrace. I think the suggestion of shutting the terrace might have been pretty silly right now, but in 3 years' time, I think that would be quite a good idea. What he's just said as well, Cambridge last year in the GH was the best atmosphere he's seen in a long time. I have to agree. I've not seen atmosphere like that since the days of George Boyd and Mikael Smith and Aaron McLean and those two back-to-back promotion seasons.
No, I just want to go back to a couple of them. So the atmosphere that you experienced with the George Boyd a few years back, that was in the London Road end, wasn't it? But anyway, we move on. The London Road end, going back to what Ash has said, is, yeah, the safe standing is awful. It's not the best quality. You can't sit down in your seats if you wanted to sit down, because it's where it's like the cheap option. And I understand why it's a cheap option. It was either that or potentially if we'd stayed in the Championship, we wouldn't have been able to use that ground. So you've got to look at it from all different ways. We've done what we've done on a budget. It solved the purpose. We didn't stay in the Championship, or we didn't go up, whatever it was, I can't remember. So it was irrelevant anyway. But we had to get it done just in case. In hindsight, we could have like waited and it still could be a terrace, but it is what it is. We move on. As far as the atmosphere, yeah, I think the only other place that could be potentially worse than the atmosphere in London Road is in the sponsors lounge, because that's really no atmosphere in there, is it? You know what I mean? You've got your old blue rinses and everything, but no, fair play to them. You know, you're fitting well there, Ash. But yeah, we've also said, I know we're right going off in different areas, but London Road, it is shit. It is fucking crumbling. I do trip up the steps every time I go up because they're all uneven. But it's where I remember most of my, you know, favourite fucking games from, like your Liverpool's in 91, your Huddersfield's in 92s. You know, you've got some really big games that I remember where I was sat or stood back in them days. And for me, it's home, you know. And as we get older and as different generations come up, they'll pick their different areas that they want to be. So we've all got our preferences. I'd love to stay where I am. If we could take the roof off and just put a slanting roof on, job done. But is it cost effective? Of course it fucking ain't. It'd probably be cheaper to actually knock it down and just build a small stand there or something. But now London Road is where it is for me. And, you know, wherever anybody sits, stands, has their champagne or their fucking caviar, it won't be caviar in a posh thing, whatever you have, your almond cheese sandwiches. Let's everybody enjoy the day. Let's get behind a team and, yeah, really, really enjoy the day. Up the fucking Scunbridge bastards. Not up them, down them. Sorry.
Do you know what? That's probably the one thing that I wanted to comment on the sponsors' lounge is that it's the first time for me this season going in there after the new caterers. I like my food. I am looking forward to trying this new gather food. And with the match sponsorship also comes the potential chance to pick the man of the match. So I am taking open bids for who wants the man of the match. If any of the posh players want to, slip me a little envelope before the game, the chance is there. And if anybody asks and Bilo keeps a clean sheet, he will be getting the man of the match. You have my word.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great occasion. I think we've sold more tickets this year than we did last year, and that was such an impressive atmosphere, and we've sold quite a few more. The GH was the first stand to sell out, and it sold out a lot quicker, you know, sold out over a week ago. It's been the desire to be in the GH is so obviously there for games like this, and I do think that it's a bit of a stretch when we're playing against teams that we know we're only going to have an 8,000-9,000 crowd in to open both the London Road End and GH. But for occasions like this where, you know, the London Road End will get to its sellout, which apparently is it being about 7/8 full nowadays, and GH will be sold out as it should be. And it will be a fantastic atmosphere. I think, you know, I just hope the team on the pitch can deliver what the team did last year and make that atmosphere and make it a special day, because I think a day like this in front of a sellout crowd, in front of an atmosphere where the players get to fully appreciate the football club they're playing for the first time, really, especially the new players. I think the Cambridge at home game last season was a massive bonding moment between the fans and last season's squad. And I think it could work the same in this one. So we'll jump back a little while to a question from Scotty that we wanted to save, which is about our homegrown players, Ricky J. Jones, James Dornelly, being up for this game more than they would potentially for a standard league game. We'll go to you, John. How do you feel about that? Are you a bit nervous about them potentially being over-eager, or do you just love to see homegrown players getting stuck into Cambridge?
Well, firstly, Charlie, I'm going to be sat in the south stand, so thanks for asking that. Nice one. I will move on to the next question. I hope that, you know, every one of our players is bang up for this game. I don't think it should matter that you've come through Posh's academy. I hope that every player is very much aware of the derby atmosphere. But look, if JD and Ricky want to lead that, you know, letting the whole squad know what this means to the fan base, then that would be great. My concern with more Dornelly than Ricky J. Jones is, does the atmosphere, does the fact that he's still relatively inexperienced, play with his head on a game like this? What I want him to do is channel that aggression in the right way. I hope he is bang up for it. But what we don't want him to do is pick up an early booking, for instance, in front of the Cambridge fans and lose his head a little bit. Because Dornelly actually has been... What I would say about Dornelly is I think he's always been pretty level-headed since he comes in. If you listen to his interviews, he sounds very mature for his age. So I don't have too much concern with it. But it is easy for young players to get carried away in big atmospheres. I mean, you just look at Tottenham Galatasaray tonight. Will Lancashire's given his chance, gets two bookings, gets sent off in that atmosphere, in that hostility. When they're 18, 19, they've got to learn to play in that. So I hope that he channels that aggression in the right way. I hope he is bang up for it, but plays with that bit of restraint that you need as well, I think.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely a line. We don't want them to get sent off, but I absolutely love when they show passion in a derby. There was a moment last season, you probably would have seen it if you're in the GH, when we were singing Bilo, What's the Score? And he put his fingers up to show 5-0. And then we sang it to Josh Knight, and Josh Knight did the same. And that was great. And I hope we have players on the pitch that show that same character, that can have a little bit of banter and, you know, G up the crowd. I want to see Malik Mothersill G'ing up the crowd after winning a corner. I want to see JD shushing the Cambridge fans. I want to see all of that. So there is a line. I don't want him to get sent off. I don't want him to do something really stupid like going reckless to a Cambridge player and try and injure them. But I want them to show a bit of passion. And I think if you would take the form out of the equation, I would have played all of these players. I would have played Ricky. I would have played JD. I think get Manny in there. I'd play all these players anyway, because this is a one-off game. I don't think you can really consider form too much. It is just all about character and who can show the bottle in a big crowd.
Yeah, that's right. It's never about form. Any derby is never about form. But I think over the years, not just the Peterborough Cambridge or Peterborough Northampton, the buzz is gone a little bit amongst the players. You know, if you go back years ago, fuck me, it was fierce on the pitch and it was fierce off the pitch. Whereas now it's a little bit fierce off the pitch and on the pitch is a little bit, I don't know, weak. But hopefully the crowd can get behind the team. Hopefully Cambridge supporters can get behind their team to make it a right competitive game. I prefer a competitive game where people are getting stuck in and they're doing what they've got to do. So, I don't think either of the youngsters will have an issue. I've seen some moments of James Donnelly and Ricky, where, you know, they are getting a little bit tougher. And, you know, this could be the making of them from that side of things. I'm trying hard. I am so trying hard here with getting names right. I can't even edit anything because we're going live. So, you know, you're going to have to bear with me. So, I just want to see the players get stuck in. I'm not bothered about a couple of bookings here and there. Let's get the fuck stuck in, you know, get the fans behind the players. If they make mistakes, don't worry about it. Just fucking keep on to them and, you know, let's see them home. So, come on.
Yeah, I think I love a game with a bit of fire in it. You do see it sometimes, but it is rare. I think, you know, the most we got in terms of the scrappy nature of the game last year was when Ephraim Mason-Clark had a little pushing match with Ryan Bennett right in front of the GH, which went down suitably badly. But we do have some proper old-fashioned players in the team in terms of, you know, giving it to the opposition fans. I reckon Ricky will have a sticker again from fcstickers.com down his sock in case he needs to celebrate in front of those Cambridge fans and hold it up to that away end. He is, you know, he's one of the ones that I think will be extra up for the game. He was fantastic last year and he did everything other than score for us in that game. So I'm sure he'll be looking to get on the score sheet this weekend. And then you've obviously got Dornelli, got Manny. And I do get slightly concerned. I do get slightly concerned that these players and the sort of the motivation to go out and stick it to the rivals in Cambridge will maybe get to them. I do get slightly concerned about that. But I think as long as Fergie can keep them going, as long as they get their temperament and we've got the cool heads in the team like Archie Collins in the middle, keeping everyone calm, the extra motivation that they'll have as local lads and knowing the passion that comes alongside the derby will go far in making them play out of their skins, hopefully.
I just wanted to comment on what Dale had to say, because obviously he was talking about, you know, the lack of aggression in the game. I actually thought at the Abbey, they basically just tried to kick us off the pitch. You saw Fuchs get injured for pretty much ended his posh career, that injury at their place last season. And there was some pretty nasty tackles going in that game. And as much as, you know, we all want to see 50-50s as fans in a derby game, all of us want to see slide tackles. All of us want to see Cambridge players on their arses. But realistically, if we get trapped into that game, it probably favours them. Our biggest strength is our ball playing ability. And if we just pass the ball around them, I would much rather see that at the end of the day and them sprinting 20 yards behind our players or 5-0 down again with their head slumped in their hands than any 50-50 tackle. So I'd much rather us concentrate on playing our football. If you can leave a bit in on them and can do it fairly and not really alert the referee, certainly do so. But the main thing is getting that win. And if the best way to do that is by playing our football.
Yeah, so we're coming up on 50 minutes live, so we'll go through a few questions that maybe weren't specific to the Cambridge game, but still good questions nonetheless. So first of all, you've been asked, Ashley, have you had a Higgsy burger yet? I'm not sure what that is. I'm sure you're about to educate me.
I don't think Ashley got asked that. I think Ash Key got asked that one, didn't they? So I think we must need to look for a new host. A Higgsy's burger, just is the A15 towards the A1. They're on the left-hand side. They run a little hut. They do like your typical American burgers. The answer is no, I haven't had one, as they have long queues and I don't like to wait for my food. As for the other part of Scotty's question, two choices, really. Blackpool away, when I went to watch Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup a few seasons back, they did this lovely curry in the ground and it was utterly fantastic. And then before that, Bristol City away, they do a chili con carne pie, which was so nice. It may shock anybody watching. I had to go back and have another one. So I had two of those. That was how good it was. So if we could get promoted and get ourselves to Bristol City, that would be absolutely fantastic.
Well, for me, there is only one winner. Up and down the land, all the way up to Accrington or Carlisle, all the way down to Portsmouth and Plymouth. Whilst I am a big fan of the Plymouth pasty, it has to be Leighton Orient for the pie mash and liquor. The pie mash and liquor is just superb. It comes from Godden's in Greenwich. It is lovely. Even Scotty, I can vouch, it is lovely. Pie, mash and liquor. If you're going to go there, ask for a double-double with your liquor. And it's reasonably priced. Don't start. Even you had a bit of it, Ash Lodds, didn't you, when we were there? And, not Ash Lodds. It's, mate, honestly, it's food of the gods. Bollocks to all these like pies and this and that and your chili con carne, whatever's. Pie, mash and liquor, Leighton Orient. Have it.
We've had another question that's not pertaining to the Cambridge game, but it's something that we haven't managed to get into a pod yet. So we'll get it now. It's a question from Fleetwood Zach on Twitter using hashtag PoshCastLive. Get your comments in there for the last comments of the video. It says, do you find it surprising that Ronnie hasn't even made the bench for that awful Southampton squad yet? And would you take him back in January on loan if the opportunity arose? John, what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, so I guess my answer to the initial bit is, yes, I am slightly surprised he's not made the bench. However, if you go back and listen to Up the Poshcast from pre-season, I did actually flag that I had a few concerns about him going to the top level in terms of his physicality. However, I'm very surprised they haven't, you know, played it. He's not even getting in their squads for the Carabao Cup. So he seems way off Russell Martin's selection plans, and I can't see that changing. For the second part of the question, I would absolutely love Ronnie Edwards back at London Road. It would be fantastic. I think he goes to the Championship, though. I imagine Southampton are planning to loan him out. It doesn't seem like he's got very much out of the move so far, but I'd be very surprised if they were opening to loaning him back here. However, if he wanted to come back, God, we'd have one hell of a team, because I do think he'd be a brilliant, brilliant addition to this squad.
Yeah, I do agree with John. Nobody's ever going to say no to Ronnie Edwards coming back, but I just think that is a bygones be bygones, and ultimately I don't think we could afford to have him back without some serious financial support from Southampton, which I'm not sure whether they would be willing to offer or not. I just can't see it happening. Look, nobody's going to say no, are they? He would fit straight back in and offer us everything that we've sort of been missing this season that George Nevitt has hopefully shown that he will be able to offer us going forwards. But I don't think that is a realistic solution. I think that if he is going to go out on loan, it will be to probably a mid-table Championship, hopefully towards a top-end Championship team that's looking to bolster and strengthen their squad.
Yeah, and the last question, the most recent one, is from DJ PUFC, who says, do you think the new lads like Wallen will understand the importance of the game? And that's led me on to thinking, how would you best express the importance of the game? Del, if I gave you a minute to give a team talk to get the lads ready for the game on Saturday, what is your team talk sounding like to these new boys?
God, fucking hell, talk about being put on the spot. Basically, you're professional footballers. You know, you get to your cup finals, you go to your playoff finals, whatever. this is bigger than that. It's a fucking local derby. You know, the fans are up for it. We've only played them twice at home in the last fucking 20 odd years. Get into them, fuck them up, break the legs if you have to. But if you're going to break the legs, make sure it's not a foul. Make sure it looks like an accident. Fucking hurt them, you know, wind their fans up, you know, give our fans something to cheer about. Go out there, enjoy yourself. Don't start fucking crying. If you're going to get hurt, make sure you get fucking hurt, but get on your feet and don't look like you've been fucking sniped. You know, show that you're a man. Or even though you are all under 22 or 21, whatever you are, get out there, fucking enjoy it, and beat them fucking Cambridge scum. Let's go.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it needs to be a massive, massive tackle from Manny inside the first 60 seconds. Just absolutely clean out one of these strikers that nobody's ever heard of that Cambridge have playing for them. This is the big one of the season. We're going to have a big attendance. Everybody that is anybody is going to be there. And this is not a game that anybody wants to miss. And any other priorities should be put to one side for this game. That's for sure.
But it's interesting you say that, Ash, because obviously there's five of us on the podcast right now, and Max unfortunately couldn't make it on, but he'll be in the GH. But there's one accountant, I think he is, that's not going to the game on Saturday. I'm not sure why. I think it's... Oh, wait, actually, I do remember. He was going to the game. He had a ticket in his GH. He'd got it all on his phone. He'd screenshotted it. He was ready to go. And then his girlfriend says, "Do you want to go to a gig with me?" And instead of doing the normal thing that any posh fan would do and go, "No, it's the Cambridgeshire Derby. It's our biggest home game of the season. Go away." He's gone, "Go on then," and sold his ticket. So Harry Anders will not be appearing on Up the Poshcast from now. He will be officially barred from any Peterborough United podcasts in the future. What an absolutely awful, awful thing to do. Harry, I know you're out there. You should be ashamed of yourself, mate. And I hope that going to see whatever weird little band you're going to see with your missus is worth being forever bullied on Up the Poshcast for. So I think we'll call it a day there. We'll move on to our score predictions. And we'll start with you, Ashley. So what is your score prediction? And just to spice it up, we'll go, who is your nailed-on Peterborough United player to get booked in Saturday's game?
So I've been thinking about this one today. Earlier on, I thought that we were definitely going to concede. But I said to Steve when I was at work, we're 60 minutes in now. I've managed to goad myself into thinking that we're going to keep a clean sheet. So let's go one better than last year and let's go 6-0. I'll have a Ricky J. Jones hat-trick just so that everybody's aware. Scotty wants to get a tattoo. If Ricky scores a hat-trick, I'm down for it. So let's make it happen, Ricky. That is your beck and call. Let's score three, get the sticker out. Let's dick Cambridge. As for a books player, let's go Wallin.
You've nicked my books player there, Ashley. So I'll have to change it to somebody else now. My score prediction, I still don't trust Posh to keep a clean sheet, even against lowly Cambridge with their terrible strike force. So I'm going to say 4-1. I think if we score early, it gets away from them. It's a repeat of last year. We're just as good going forward last year, if not better now. I think Ricky scores. I think Malik scores. I'm going to give Joel Randall a goal as well, you know. And I'm going to say Ricky J. Jones gets booked for taking his shirt off and doing the snake.
Okay, do you know what? I think this is going to be our first clean sheet of the season. Okay, I also think we're going to score a few goals. I believe we're going to win 4-0. Okay, 4-0 is going to be the score. Player to be booked, I'm going to go Bilo. And the reason I'm going to go Bilo, because I'm hoping that Bilo does a bit of shithousing, right? Fucking winds the Cambridge fans up, you know, and just takes the time taking a goal kick or something, and he gets booked for it. He gets booked. He keeps a clean sheet. I ain't getting no fucking tattoo of him. But what I will do is I'll wear a hairband in honour of him at a game. Can't say fairer than that. Yeah, can't say fairer than that. For a 52-year-old bloke to wear a hairband, that's giving it some. That's not to say there's some 50-odd-year-old Peterborough fans out there, blokes that do wear hairbands. I'm sorry. But anyway, yeah, just realised I've seen a few. And also to Scott, yeah, I'm fucked tonight. And to... And to score. I'm going to go Archie Collins. I think he's due a goal at the moment. Archie Collins to score 4-0. Below to get booked. Below, you said you listened to this or you've heard of us. Get fucking booked just to prove me right. All right. I'll even pay you 25 quid fine because that's all it is nowadays, isn't it? So there we go. All right. That's mine.
I'm going to go for a very professional 2-0 win, a little bit more reserved than these three. I think Manny's going to pocket Kachungo or whatever his name is. I think, yeah, just very, very professional. Similar to the MK Dons semi-final. I think everyone will be up for the occasion and we'll just nail everything. Player to be booked is pretty obvious. It's going to be Archie Collins because I'm sure he's got more yellow cards than appearances. He's just booked all the time, isn't he? The ref may as well just book him before he comes out. May as well just get it over and done with.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a boring prediction, to be honest, lads. I've gone slightly more conservative with my prediction than Ashley and John, I think. I went for 4-1. I went on a Cambridge pod earlier and said 4-1, so I'll be consistent. I do think we'll concede because I do just think we can't go an entire game without conceding. It's not going to work. But I do think our attacking quality will be way too much. And I will go for, I think the young lad, JD, is absolutely nailed on to get booked. I just hope it happens late enough in the game where it's not too bad. But I mean, I'd be the same. Just a dopamine rush of playing for a club that you've been like supporting and playing for since you were 9 in a derby game. The adrenaline's going to be too much. He'll just, I don't know, put James Brophy into Rose Ed or something, which will be a great watch, I'm sure. And we'll give him a big cheer and sing he's one of our own. So yeah, JD, I hope you have a great game. I love you as a player. But yeah, I do think you're going to get booked on Saturday, sir. And I will go Ricky J. Jones as my nailed on goal scorer because that man is in red hot form. So anyway, thank you very much for tuning in tonight. The numbers, the viewership has been absolutely incredible. Let us know at us on Up the Poshcast or on X. Let us know your thoughts on the live streams. And if it's something you enjoy, I'm sure it's something that we can look at doing more in the future for big games such as this. Wherever you are in the ground on Saturday, though, I think our message to you is make yourself heard. Create an atmosphere. The players need us just as much as we need them to perform on Saturday. And it's a big team effort. And yeah, anyone, whether you're in the GH or whether you're in the fossil collection up the other end, we will all be making noise together. That was a joke, by the way. We will all be making noise together and we'll all be together to hopefully show Cambridge what colour the county is again. So yeah, thank you very much for tuning in this evening. Up the posh cast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
And don't throw any fucking flares on the fucking...